from Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Vayishlach. What was Yaakov afraid of? We know that Yaakov was very fearful in this Parsha. Vayira Yaakov ma'od vayetzer lo. Jacob feared very much, and he was distressed. Now, the question everyone asked is, going back to Midrashim and the Gemara, why would Yaakov, who was promised a tevi tevi malach, God told him he will be good to him, everything will be great, why would he be so afraid? He knows that God will protect him. I'll guard you wherever you go. How could Yaakov possibly think that he should be afraid that something would happen to him? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Chesem Abayz, 98b, Brachos 4, discusses this question and says, well, he thought, Shema Yigro Machet. It's true that God promised me great things and he'll protect me and all that. But all promises that God made are contingent on your own behavior. And maybe the sins that I've done have caused God to take away his promise, and the promise is no longer good. Rashi there in Brachos points out that, well, actually, we don't think that. We don't believe that Yaakov did anything that was wrong, that was sinful, that would take away the promise. But Yaakov is a big chassid. He's a big pious person. And, you know, he worries about those things. Ashrei adam mefached tamid. There's a notion that happy is a person who's always worried, always thinking, oh, maybe I didn't do the right thing. Because that way you try to do the right thing all the time. So Rashi's willing to say that there's really nothing for him to be afraid of at all. However, if you think about it, Yaakov in our parasha does have somewhat of a guilty complex. How do we know that? He says to Esav that he wrote panecha, ki rod panei Elokim vatirtzeni. Esav, when I see your face, it's like seeing a judge's face, and you forgive me. So there's a notion of Yaakov feeling guilty. He says, why are you being so nice to me? He says to Esav, why do you say that to your brother? You could say that to the king. Why would you say that to your brother? You could say just being polite, but he also means, why would I find favor in you, in your eyes, given what, all that I've done to you? So we have five possibilities as to why Yaakov actually would be afraid of sins that were in his hand, as the Gemara says. Number one, the Das Zakenim Balei Tosfos, the Tosfot who wrote on the Chumash, said he's worried about the honoring of the father, that Esav has an upper hand. Esav is always very good at honoring his father, and he's been honoring his father for the last 20 years. And Yaakov he always tried to honor his father, but he wasn't as good as Esav. And number two, he's been away for 22 years. So he hasn't been doing a very good job at all of honoring his parents. He hasn't been honoring his parents. It's true, he went to Haran to fulfill the words of his parents, but he didn't have to stay away so long. The last 6 or 7 years were really on him. He decided to stay. He didn't have to stay. So maybe he's afraid of that. And don't forget, it's not just he's afraid of his own sins. Some of the commentaries point out, if the person you're fighting against, if he has more credit, more merit, more mitzvot, that could also do you in. For instance, if God promises Israel to the Jews, and the Canaanites don't prove to be as evil and sinful as they are described as being, that could also be a problem for the Jews to move in, because the Canaanites are not as bad as he thought. So too, if Esav did a lot of mitzvot, and he didn't, that could be a problem for fulfilling the promise. Number two, Eretz Yisrael. Esav has been living in Eretz Yisrael. Now, it's true that you might say that he's really been in Seir, he's been on the other side of Israel, but it's also part of Israel. But there's that question that certainly Esav has been in the proximity of Israel, and Yaakov has been in the Mesopotamia area, in the Syria area, and that is not part of Israel. So the merit of Esav being there and the demerit of being away from so long, that could have caused a change in God's promise to protect Yaakov. Number three, Yaakov had promised at the dream with the ladder, after the dream he promised that he would make a house of God, and he would give Miser, give one-tenth of his of everything he has. Hasn't done anything. He came back to Israel, and he hasn't done a thing. It's been 22 years. He hasn't fulfilled his vows. So he's in big trouble. Number four, this is sort of a midrashic type of thing, that it says at the beginning of the parsha, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. First words of the parsha, Vayishlach. He sent. What did he send? Malachim. So you say, he sent. What did he send? Angels. Now, doesn't Malachim mean angels? No, it means messengers. How can you send angels? A human being can say, hey, angels, you do me a favor? You go check out Aesop, see how he's doing, see if he's mad or not, and then come back. You can't do that. So most people assume that he sent messengers, because the word malach can mean messengers. So you say, well, Rashi says it real means real angels. And you say to yourself, that's ridiculous. Who would send angels? He could send messengers. What does he need to send angels for? However, that's if you don't turn back to the previous verse before this week's parsha. There's no haftorah between the parsha. If you look in the Torah, it's the previous verse. Last week's parsha is the verse before this week's parsha. What does it say in the verse before this week's parsha? Yaakov is on his way and he sees a camp of angels. And he said, Machane Elohim said, there's a camp of angels. And he called the place Machanaim. There's two camps. And then Yaakov sent angels. You say, no, it's messengers. No, it's the previous verse. He bumped into angels and he said, hey, can you go to Esav and talk to him? And they said, bad news. He doesn't say anything. He's stonewalling us. So he got nervous. So what does that mean? He used the angels. So he's afraid. Sin number four. I use the angels. I'm not supposed to use angels. Angels are holy. They belong to God. They're messengers of God. What are you doing using them? So maybe he was afraid of that point as well. And finally, of course, the most obvious, we alluded to at the beginning, maybe he's afraid of all the things he had done to Esav. He made him buy the birthright, sell the birthright. He made Esav. He tricked Esav so that he got the bracha instead of his brother. And we know that Esav was very mad about that. So maybe those things were sins as well. Now, you might say to yourself, look, the reason he didn't fulfill the honoring the parents is because he had to take care of his family and get his family ready. And he was told by his parents to go there and to be with his uncle. Number two, he didn't fulfill his vows. He's going to fulfill the vows in a few minutes. You have to be patient. He used the angels. What do you think? God sent the angels. Maybe he sent them to help him out. He tricked his brother. He got the birthright. He had to. That was his role, to fulfill the role of being Yaakov. But that's the point. Even when sometimes you right is on your side, you are Yaakov. You are the father of the Jewish people. You have a job to do. But even still, it could still be a sin. For instance, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when the Jewish people were exiled from our land, the temple was destroyed, Yochanan ben Zakkai said, oh, yeah, I have an idea. I'll talk to the emperor and we'll see. Maybe I could get a town where we could start a yeshiva and to have a Sanhedrin, and we could continue Judaism from that place. Now, in that sense, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is one of our great heroes of all time. He saved Judaism after the destruction of the temple. But when he was dying, Gemara Bracha says he was worried and he was crying. And they said, what are you worried about? You're going to the Garden of Eden. You're going to heaven. What's the problem? So he said, no, he's worried. Someone would interpret, what was he worried about? Why did I ask the emperor for yeshiva? I should have asked him not to destroy the temple. So why didn't he ask the emperor not to destroy the temple? And he figured if I ask for that and he says no, I get nothing and then Judaism's over. But if I ask for this, at least he'll give me that and we'll be saved a little bit. So even when you do the right thing, you still have to wonder, what if I had done something else? There's always that possibility. So if you're a pietistic person like Yaakov, you're always wondering, look, I know what I did is right. I'm a chassid. I'm Yaakov Avinu. I had to do it. But you always wonder, maybe it could have been done differently. Maybe not. And that's our job, is to have Yirah Shamayim. What's Yirah Shamayim? To have fear of heaven. Like Yaakov, you wonder, have I done everything correctly? Have I done it? I daven shacharis, mincha, and marav, and I kept Shabbos, and I eat kosher. But did I do it right? Did I do it well enough? Did I do it good enough? You have to ask yourself these questions. Vayira Yaakov ma'od, vayetzulo. Yaakov was particularly worried. That's the role of a pious person, of all of us, to try to be pious and try to think, you know, How could I daven better? How could I say brachos better? How could I be a better husband, person, friend? How can I take care more of the poor, those who are destitute, those who are lonely? These are things we should always be worried about. If Yaakov is very worried, he was a great pietist, we should certainly be worried. We should certainly take pause and take time to think, have we done the right thing? Could we do more? Could we do better? Should I have done something else? It's a hard thing to do, to live with all this guilt and all that. But I think we can take just a little bit of this Yaakov. It's a good lesson for all of us to always second guess ourselves and hope that God will forgive us, hope that God understands what our intentions are, what we're doing, and hopefully can do it even a little bit better. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sefar Beth Lomith Congregation for our discussion of Parsha Vayishlach. Thanks and please join us for other videos and on Parsha and holidays and everything else. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.